This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Right, hello. Yes, thanks for downloading. So, are you ready to get your mind blown? Good. You're in the right place. Welcome to the Fun Kids Science Weekly. My name's Dan. This is the show where we take a quick spin all around the universe. We take a little sneak peek at the incredible and the amazing bits of science that's all over the place. And then we get you home, like in about half an hour, give or take. This week, we're chatting about the first thing that a pair of Japanese robots did when they touched down on an asteroid. Also, in this week's Dangerous Dan, we'll learn about one of the largest beasts that stalks the lakes of Africa. And we're speaking to two of the UK's youngest entrepreneurs. They've used all kinds of sciencey stuff, like computer coding and chemical inventions, to drive them on to their own success. And you could find out how they've done it in a little bit. Also, I need to pick your brains about something after we catch up with one of our favourite geniuses here on the Fun Kids Science Weekly. It's Professor Hallux.
Professor Hallux's Digital Dental Depository, with support from Philips Sonicare.
What are you working on, Professor?
You remember my dear old Uncle Halitosis?
The dentist?
That's right. It's nearly his 100th birthday, and in his honour, I'm creating a pop-up digital dental depository, an oral health help desk, if you like. I'm going to see how many questions all about teeth I can answer against the clock. Give us a hand, will you, Nanobot? Just needs winding up. Here you go. You can ask the questions.
Okay, first question. Why do we need to clean our teeth?
Well, that's easy. The food and drink that you eat encourages germs called bacteria to grow in our mouths and on your teeth. Left to their own devices, this bacteria can form a soft yellow substance on your teeth. This is called plaque, and plaque can damage the surface of your teeth, eating away at the enamel, causing decay and toothache. Not forgetting gum disease. Or bad breath.
Strong start, Professor. Next question. How often should you brush your teeth and for how long?
You should brush your teeth after breakfast and after supper before you go to bed. 2 minutes twice a day. To help make sure you're giving each tooth the best clean possible, most electric toothbrushes have a 2 minute timer. And you need to remember to clean every part of your teeth. So that's brushing the inside surfaces, the outside surfaces, the chewing surfaces, and not forgetting the gaps between your teeth. It's a good idea to brush at a 45 degree angle to your teeth, starting at the gum line, and then using a gentle circular motion, move your brush up and down each tooth.
Well done, you're doing grand. Oh, tricky question this one. True or false? You should rinse your mouth with water after brushing your teeth.
Ha! A trick question. You might think you should rinse your mouth out after brushing your teeth, but you shouldn't. It'll only wash away the concentrated fluoride in any remaining toothpaste, reducing its preventative effects.
Better hurry, just a couple more to go. Mouthwash or not?
Yep, mouthwashes are helpful. Although make sure you use one which is appropriate for your age and choose one with fluoride. It can be a good idea to use mouthwash at a different time of the day to when you brush your teeth. So say you use a mouthwash after lunch. But remember, don't eat or drink for 30 minutes after using a fluoride mouthwash, or otherwise the benefits are washed away.
Flossing. Give us the lowdown.
Well, flossing isn't just for dislodging food wedged between your teeth. Regular flossing can help reduce the risk of gum disease and bad breath by removing plaque that forms along the gum line. There are loads of ways to floss, from dental tape and interdental brushes to the very latest technology where you use bursts of air and water or mouthwash to blast between the gaps. And did you know, it's best to floss before brushing your teeth.
And finally, for a bonus point, what about toothpicks?
Definitely avoid wooden toothpicks. They can splinter and cause damage to your gums.
Time's up. Brilliant, Professor. A very respectable score there and lots of dental data for the Digital Dental Depository.
Professor Howard. Alex's Digital Dental Depository with support from Philips Sonicare. Find out more at funkidslive.com/Alex.
I'm a little bit fed up, you know. Have you seen that the nights are getting darker quicker? Have you noticed that? Well, I know that we've got listeners all over the world to this show, but where we are right now in the UK, the nights, they've started drawing in, and it's going to get worse when the clocks go back and the angle of the earth gets further away from the sun. And I was thinking, have you ever wondered exactly why this happens? You know, why it gets colder, why the leaves get darker, then fall off. Why do the clocks actually go back? Well, here's the thing. I can find out for you. The deal is that you've got to ask me to. That's the formality of the show. Now, the way you do that is you need to leave a review over on the iTunes podcast store. Now, it doesn't have to be for me. It doesn't need to be a question all about why the nights are getting darker. It can be any science question that you fancy, something that you've heard at school that you simply don't believe, maybe, something that your mum or dad has told you and you thought, I'll play along because I don't want to embarrass them, but there's no way that's right. I can get a proper science question, proper science expert to answer your question for you. All you need to do is to find the Fun Kids Science Weekly on the iTunes podcast store. Leave us a review with your name with 5 stars. There's a little comment box in the bottom and write your question. And it could be a question about the sun, about the moon, about the wind in the sky, about the wind that your dad makes the morning after a curry. I got a bit too gross there, didn't I? Right, let's move on. If you've got a science question, I will answer it for you. Let me know over on the iTunes podcast store. Now, this week on the Fun Kids Science Weekly, we're highlighting some of the incredible young entrepreneurs. You know, these are people who have used things from the world around them to start up their own companies. One of those is Cenk Oz. Cenk, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you so much. So you're the CEO of iCoolKid. Tell me about the first idea that you had for what would become your very own company.
Okay, well, when I was, young now, every Monday morning, the teacher would always ask a really generic question of, so what did everyone do on the weekend? And everyone else would always say, oh, I went to this football match or I went to this rugby match or something along those lines. But then I would always say, oh, I went to this West End show or I went to this DJing lesson. Or mine would always be something like that. It would be a bit out of the norm. And then kids started asking me, so what am I doing on the weekend? Because they want to come along with me. And then their mum started asking my mum what's Cenk doing on the weekend because their kid wants to come. Then my mum started writing like this weekly email to those parents who often wanted to come saying, here's what he's doing, do you want to come? And then that weekly email went out to more parents and then more parents. And then it got to the point where there were parents we didn't even know from other schools saying, oh, you're Carmen, I know you're what your son's doing. And then it dawned on us that, wow, that's a really good idea for a company. And that probably hasn't been made yet. So then 3 months later, I did a show and tell on it in front of my whole school, the same school. And then the other kids learned from the idea and they said it was great and they said they loved it. So then it was a lot of yesing and knowing. Then after a big final yes, we interviewed quite a few website companies. And then 3 years later, iCoolKid was born.
So how did it become what initially was like a newsletter to something that we can now see online? You said that a few months later, iCoolKid was born. But talk to me a bit more about the steps in between just your mum sending out a little round robin to then you having this, your very own company.
So as I said, like I did a show and tell on it. And the show and tell, I've got the picture somewhere. It's a really great picture, but it says our big iCoolKid and the logo's changed, but most of the ideas I had back then had stayed, and the concept has all stayed the same. And so that was just one poster. And then we decided yes. So then we found website companies, CTI Digital, which are located in Manchester. They're the ones that we use nowadays. And so that was our third one. And then they helped us. They taught us the code.
So how much time are you now dedicating to iCoolKid? I mean, you're 13, so you're still at school, I'd imagine. What are you kind of doing when you get home, you know, from class? Are you then straight into coding, straight into writing more articles, putting together more Spotify playlists? What's going on?
What it is more or less is because I'm at school with my demographic, which is really, really easy and makes life so much easier that I can just have my ear to the ground and I can hear everything, all the music they're listening to, the games they're playing, what they're talking about. And then I can report that to my mum, who can then report that back to the team saying this is what's happening. Cenk's saying that this music's being listened to a lot more than this music. We should write more about this.
You say a team.
Yes.
Who's in your team?
We have 5 full-time employees, plus interns who come in the summer from aged about 18 to 23, and then mini-interns from about 13 to 18.
Now, has this kind of taught you anything more about being a kid than just being a kid would do? I know that I'm trying to explain that in an easier term. Has it made you more aware of what all your mates are talking about, what kids all around the world, what they're chatting about in the playground, that maybe just being out there yourself wouldn't do? Have you had to be more aware?
Yeah, it's made me much more aware of not necessarily what's happening in my community, but 100% what's happening. Some countries like Senegal, Uruguay, Nepal, they've all been on iCoolKid. That, and like, it kind of puts into perspective that something that's cool in India can also be really cool in the centre of London.
And I know that you use what you have learned to then go away and coach proper, like, business, older business people that are many, many, many years older than you. What's the main take-homes that you try and teach to these people who are maybe massively out of touch with the kids that they're trying to talk to in their demographic?
They really, like you said at the end of that question there, really listen to your demographic and stay with your demographic. Because the second that you lose your demographic, they kind of lose you as well. And then they don't really feel in touch with you, and then you'll kind of lose your whole audience.
What about tips then for someone who's listening, who's maybe got like a little kernel of an idea in their brain, they're racking it through, they want to get stuff done with it, but maybe they think, well, I'm just, you know, I'm a kid, I can't really do anything proper like that. What would you say to them?
I mean, I've got like a few steps. Like, first thing is write it down. And that's not like that's mainly like a psychological thing, because if you write it down, even if you don't actively write more about it, whenever you pass it, the idea is going to rattle through your head, and then you're going to start remembering, and then you're going to start thinking about it, and then that's going to expand from it. Second thing is create like an idea board of directors, so people who you can trust, 4 or 5 people who you can trust, and you can talk about it at least like once a month, who can talk about your idea from, and then they can give you advice and you can say what you're thinking and how they think that would be beneficial.
Fantastic. Cenk, Oz, thank you so much for coming on the Fun Kids Science Weekly.
Thank you so much for having me.
And now on the Fun Kids Science Weekly, continuing chatting to some of the incredible young entrepreneurs all around the world, we've got Rose Dyson. She's the CEO of Pura Cosmetics. Rose, thanks for joining us.
Hi there. Hi, guys.
Hello. So tell me about the very first moment that Pura came into your mind. Why did you start it up?
Yeah, so I never thought I'd be an entrepreneur, to be honest. I always fancied being a teacher at school. But then I was in year 10, so I was 15, doing my GCSEs, and this competition at school came about. It was an enterprise challenge. And the basis of it was you start with an idea, so think of it on your own, and then basically see if you can build it with just £25. So I decided to take part in the challenge. I always thought the prices of cosmetics on the high street, especially ethical ones that were natural, using natural ingredients and all that jazz, were really quite expensive, and my pocket money just couldn't basically cover it. So I decided to create my own, and that's how Pura started. Yeah, so I did the competition, and now it's become a great business, which I'm absolutely loving running, so it's brilliant.
It's quite a big undertaking, though. So if you think, right, I'm annoyed at how much my lipstick's costing me, I'm going to make my own, I wouldn't have, like, an idea where I would start, especially making a vegan, a cruelty-free lipstick. Where did you start when you had your 25 quid and you thought, right, I'm going to do this now?
Yeah, so, of course, I was in the exact same position. I had no idea where to start. So it happened, I decided to just do some Google searches, see if I can have a look at some ingredients, look up their properties, see if they could be cool. And then I also got in touch with some, suppliers of ingredients, some cosmetic ingredients. And I asked them for their advice, and I said, I'm trying to make a lip scrub and lip balm. Can you point me in the right direction? And they did. And then just lots of trial and error, and it was a long process, but we created a really good recipe, and it's still the one we use today, 3 years later, so it's brilliant.
So what else has the company become in 3 years? If it started off with that one bit of cosmetic, now what is it? What can we see?
So we have around 12 different lip scrub flavours and about 14 different lip balm flavours. We've diversified into a cocktail-inspired line for the more mature ladies and gentlemen. And now it's just been crazy successful. I'm now running it full-time. It's my full-time job after I've just done my A-levels at sixth form. So I left sixth form in summer and now it's my full-time job. And I'm absolutely loving it. And we've got a busy Christmas coming up. I'm also like the National Young Trader of the Year for the UK at the minute. I'm on the UK 20 under 20 list. There's lots of awards. Youngest ever winner of the Theopathetis Small Business Award. Just lots of success in terms of awards and accolades for me, and then just incredible business sales-wise and profit-wise. So it's great. I can support myself off it. So it's really, really exciting.
You mentioned that you wanted to make an ethical brand earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important to you? Why is doing something that's sustainable for the world important to how you want to look and how you want to, you know, dress yourself up with makeup and with other cosmetics?
Yeah, of course. I think when I was always watching sort of YouTubers and all these beauty gurus talking about cosmetics, and I often looked at the ingredients in some of these products and thought, oh, I don't want to put in sort of acids and stuff that these ingredients were the products were containing. I was like, oh, I'm not sure about this. And a lot of girls like me at 15 and boys at 15, they're not sure what the contents of what they're putting on their skin. If it's, they're not sure of it, they just go with it. But it's really important to enforce, to teach people about how crazy some of these ingredients can be and how harmful they can be. So therefore, we decided to go with the natural ingredients. So they're 100% natural, the products. Cruelty-free as well, free from animal cruelty, and vegan-friendly as well. So what we've tried to create is an accessible product, so make it accessible to everyone, vegetarians, vegans, people with sensitive skin, irritated skin, and it's a product that's really, we get great results, great feedback, and the prices are really quite affordable as well. So yeah, it's all great.
It's quite a lot to get involved in, especially for someone so young, trying to do something that's vegan and that is good for the world, because I know that some of the people who are vegans themselves, they can sometimes be a bit insistent on what it needs to adhere to their rules. Have you been kind of confused along the way? Have you when you find yourself in kind of the murky world of trying to make something that is sustainable for the world? I know that you can trip up a lot. Has it been plain sailing for you?
Well, this is how it is. You learn every single day. Obviously, we've basically had the products tested with the EU, not EU, the European cosmetic regulations. So we've sort of obviously adhered to that. But we've basically tried to create something and learn along the way, get the best advice from the best people. And it's been pretty plain sailing so far, because we've just had the comfort of knowing there's nothing harmful, no chemicals or anything in the products. They are like 100% natural, so allergen free and all that stuff, all that jazz. So it has been quite plain sailing so far, but we've been very careful, and obviously a lot of research goes into it.
And I know also that when you start trying to save the world, even from something as simple as cosmetics, things start to snowball very quickly. Are you thinking, where would you like the brand of Pure to go, aside from cosmetics? Are you looking at any other ways to make a difference socially?
Yeah, of course, there's all sorts of ways, and we're pretty busy with the cosmetics at the minute, but there's lots of opportunities. Pure is a brand, Pure is a way of life, and a lifestyle as well, so obviously there's lots of opportunities and ways we can help, and the more funds we have, the more we'll be able to do that, so it is exciting, yeah.
Brilliant. Rose Dyson from Pure Cosmetics, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, guys.
Right, time for today's Dangerous Dan, where we have a gander at the most mean and evil things in the universe. And today, we're headed to the waters of Africa to check out the Nile crocodile. Never smile at a Nile crocodile. No, you can't get friendly with a Nile crocodile because they're at your face off. Yeah, they take their name from the longest river in the world, the Nile, which runs from Lake Victoria in Uganda all the way to Egypt, then out into the ocean. Now, although the croc is found in many African large bodies of water, as well as the Nile, it's the largest freshwater predator in Africa. It's known as this vicious man-eater. It lives around 45 years, it grows to 16 feet long, it weighs 500 pounds. And they've got these gigantically tough jaws with, like, yellow, rotting dagger teeth that stick out at each ends all over the place. Now, they mainly snack on fish, but they'll attack pretty much anything that's nearby. Zebras, hippos, porcupines, birds, even other crocs. And they can eat up to half of their body weight in one feeding. And it feasts on humans too. Scientists think that around 200 people die a year in the jaws of a Nile crocodile, but that's mainly people that live nearby. You see, the beast, the Nile croc, it doesn't hunt humans, but if there is one innocently wandering around, if this Nile crocodile's feel a bit peckish, you know it's gonna snack. Time to talk about all the big science stories that have been in the news this week. Europe's Ariane 5 rocket, it's completed its 100th mission. Last Tuesday, it lifted two satellites into orbit from French Guiana. It won't be around for too much longer, though. It's getting a bit old. They're updating it with Ariane 6. This is a spaceship that's being debuted in 2020, in a couple of years. Oh, speaking of space, the Japan's space agency has landed two robotic explorers on the surface of an asteroid. These rovers, they landed last week, and they're now moving around the 1 kilometre wide rock. It's known as Ryugu, and they've already sent a picture back to Earth. The first thing that they did when they were there, from a spaceship, they've already tweeted a selfie. I mean, it's not a great photo, I'll be honest, but it's one that a robot has taken in space, which is pretty amazing. And finally, a 400-year-old shipwreck, it's been discovered just off the coast of Portugal. It's part of a 10-year-long project to find stuff under the European Sea. And divers, they went in to discover more. They found cowrie shells, dusty cannons, and it's been described as the find of a lifetime. Right, that is it for another episode of the Fun Kids Science Weekly. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your shows from, you know, places like iTunes, stuff like that, so then it will automatically download to your phone or tablet when we have a new one next week. If you are on iTunes, by the way, remember that's the best place to ask me a question that I will then ask a science expert for you. So if you're ever wondering about why the things in the universe do the things that they do, that's what you need to do. Get onto the iTunes podcast store and leave the Fun Kids Science Weekly a review with your question in there. You can also find all of our brilliant Fun Kids Science series on iTunes. They're on the free Fun Kids app as well. And you can have a listen at funkidslive.com. And Fun Kids, it's a children's radio station which you can hear all around the UK on your DAB digital radio. We're on that free Fun Kids app and you can find us at funkidslive.com.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.